a half feet tall, and his naked upper body bulged with well-defined muscles and flesh that was covered with a roadmap of scars. His head was shaved above the ears, and his remaining hair was cut short, bristling straight up from his head, that split the sides of his skull in two like a wedge. Half of his left ear was missing, and his nose looked as if it had been broken several times. Mog was obviously the crowd favorite, getting slapped on the back by men and women alike all the way into the circle.
And he's as mean as he is big. The Sekhmen wanted to recruit him into the ranks, but he refused. Said he'd rather be a slave than a rad-blasted Sekhman.
Ryan appreciated the sentiment. Looks dangerous enough.
When he first arrived, the Sekhmen had trouble keeping him in line. He broke the necks of two men the first week.
Why didn't they chill him?
Baron wouldn't let them. Mog's offspring bring in top jack for the farm. Baron even gave him his own personal group of breeders.
Sounds like he's got a good deal going. What's he doing here?
I think he wants Christie for himself.
Ryan remembered something the trader used to say, and muttered it now under his breath. A chilled man has no desires, no wants.
What was that?
Forget it. Ryan craned his neck to see the three men walking in Mog's shadow. Who are they?
Dorfman, Billingsley, and Foghat. They're Mog's cronies, and will be watching his back like I'll be doing for you. Stab you in the back if they can. Makes no difference to them.
Thanks for the warning.
Well, all of them will stab you in the back if they get the chance.
That's what I figured.
Chill or be chilled.
Grundwald entered the circle carrying a canvas duffel bag filled with weapons. When he reached the center, he upended the bag and let the contents fall to the ground. Piled in a heap were several lengths of heavy chain, an assortment of knives, a few long wooden pikes, and a few rusty swords. However, included in the jumble were several newer pieces, including Ryan's own panga. Seeing the knife's 18-inch blade, Ryan moved closer to the center of the circle.
Back off, One Eye! You start anything while I'm in the circle, and my snipers will blow a hole through your skull big enough to drive a wag through!
Ryan looked at the armed men in the towers and took a cautious step backward. Mog moved closer to the circle's center as well, but instead of calling the man on it, Grundwald simply hurried out of the circle.
Makes no difference to me, Outlander. I'll kill you with whatever you leave behind.
Ryan watched the giant man stop a few paces from the pile of weapons, and wondered if he meant what he'd said, or was merely trying to put Ryan off.
Take what you want, hurry!
Ryan reached for his panga, slid his fingers around the handle, and pulled it roughly out of the bottom of the pile. Brody grabbed a 6-foot-long pike, selecting the best weapon to keep the others at bay. The Sekhmen and Muties also reached for the weapons, the Sekhmen picking up knives and the Muties selecting the aged swords. True to his word, Mog and his men took what was left behind. The giant took a length of chain for himself, while Dorfman, Billingsley, and Foghat ended up with a knife, pike, and sword, respectively. Mog's voice rang in a low, deep rumble that boomed out of his cavernous chest like a cannon shot.
I can chill you with a chain as easily as a blaster, One Eye.
Outside the circle, Grundwald raised his hands.
Ready?
The question was answered by a rumble of shouts and whistles from the crowd. They were more than ready, for blood and chilling.
Fight!
The circle came alive with movement. Ryan stepped back from the center, expecting Mog to swing the chain in his direction. But instead, he quickly turned to the left, whipping his arm out and catching the mutie named Laszlo in the neck. The chain tore into the mutie's neck, embedding itself 3 inches into the flesh, causing a gout of blood to spurt up from the open wound. Hambley looked at his partner with stunned fascination as Laszlo desperately tried to pull the chain from his neck. Blood was pouring over the dying mutie's shoulder as he fell to his knees, still vainly trying to work the chain free. Mog took a step toward Laszlo, wrapped the remaining length of chain around the part of the neck that remained, and then pulled with both hands. The blunt chain ripped through the mutie's flesh like a dull blade, tearing his head from his shoulders and sending it spinning into the air. The flying severed head, blood still draining from inside, caught the attention of the crowd and most of the combatants. But not Ryan. He used the opportunity to move right and slash the leg of one of the Sekhmen. He caught Salazar on the right leg just below the knee. The man let out a yelp of pain as his pant leg was slashed open and blood began to pool around his right foot. Salazar clutched at his bleeding leg.
You should have chilled me with that blow, One Eye. Because I'm going to make you pay for it.
The Sekhmen lunged forward, but stopped himself in mid-stride when he found the sharpened tip of Brody's pike between himself and Ryan.
Let him come.
Ryan moved the pike aside with his left hand.
You just watch that the other porks use for a sec man doesn't interfere.
Richmond heard the comment and sneered at Ryan.
Don't chill him, Salazar. Leave a bit of his worthless life for me.
You got it.
Ryan stepped back to keep his distance from the approaching sec man. On Ryan's right, the second mutie, Hambly, had his hands full trying to stay away from Mog. The giant appeared to be toying with the man, putting on a show with his chain, but the crowd seemed to be enjoying since they were still chanting his name louder than ever. Salazar's knife was about the same length as Ryan's panga, but that's where the similarities ended. Ryan's blade was sharp, and the balance of the weapon was excellent. Salazar, on the other hand, seemed to be fighting with his knife, not sure whether to lunge or slash with it. And there was another advantage Ryan held over the sec man. Salazar's wounded leg continued to spill blood. If the cut itself hadn't slowed him, the loss of blood was sure to. All Ryan had to do was wait. But in this arena, waiting was a luxury he might not have time for.
What's the matter, One-Eye? Don't you want to stand and fight?
Ryan thought of the traitor's saying about those who run away being able to run away another day. That didn't apply here. If he ran, his fight was over, and one of these creatures would end up with his lover and his best friend. The thought of Christie made Ryan stand his ground. He planted his boots on the dry, dusty ground and threw the panga back and forth from his left hand to his right. The move had been intended to confuse Salazar and let him know that Ryan was equally good with the knife with either hand. But it had also captured the attention of the crowd, who appreciated a fighter with some showmanship and flair. Even Mog and the others were watching Ryan now. But he refused to put on a show for their entertainment. Chilling was a matter of survival, not people's amusement. He stopped tossing the panga back and forth and held it before himself to guard against an attack. Salazar had no problems with putting on a show, however. He tried to emulate Ryan's prowess with his knife, but was handling the weapon awkwardly. Ryan followed the flight of the knife from one hand to the other, waiting for his chance. It came on the third time the knife was in Salazar's left hand. He fumbled with it, having to adjust his hand slightly to firm up his grip on the knife. Ryan wasted no time. In a flash, his right boot shot up from the ground, kicking Salazar's hand, breaking several finger bones, and sending the knife spinning through the air. Salazar looked stupidly at his empty right hand, as if the knife had suddenly betrayed him. Ryan followed the kick with a hard left cross to the side of the sec man's face. Teeth and blood flew out of a corner of his mouth, much of it landing outside the ring. His eyes rolled up in their sockets. He fell to the ground in a heap, his head slamming hard into the ground. Richmond stepped forward to help his fellow sec man, but Brody kept him back. Even one of Mog's men, Foghat, moved in to keep Richmond away. Ryan stepped forward and looked over the fallen guard.
If you agree to leave at the break, I won't show you, sec man.
Fuck you, Outlander!
Salazar spat on Ryan's boot and pounded a fist weakly against Ryan's thigh. Ryan flipped the panga so that it was pointing down and plunged the tip of it into Salazar's chest. The knife stopped when it was through his body and had come up against the hard-packed ground beneath it. A faint pulse of blood bubbled up around the panga's blade, and a crimson line leaked out of the corner of the man's mouth. The crowd grew silent.
Round one complete!
Ryan and Brody were still alive, and now there were two fewer opponents to worry about. JB had the four 50-caliber machine blasters out of the P-39. All of the parts had been fairly well preserved, and a few of them still had a light sheen of oil.
I thought we would only be using two of these blasters.
We are. I'm going to use the best parts out of the four to make two.
Doc sat and watched the armorer work. There was pleasure to be had watching someone who thoroughly enjoyed his work, and that was JB. He had quality blasters to fiddle with, and he looked just like a boy in a toy store. There was a strange look of pleasure on his face, as if he couldn't wait to fire the 50 caliber, or to see the 37mm cannon blow apart the side of a building. Doc envied the man's simple pleasures, and wished he could become so lost in something. Instead, he spent his time thinking of his dear Emily and the two children they'd had together, Rachel and Joyon. With all the talk of breeding going on the past couple of days, Doc took solace in the fact that he had sired two of the most beautiful and vibrant children in all of the eastern states. They would have lived their lives out long ago. And while he was sure that Emily had raised them right, he often wondered about what they made of their lives, and if his family name or bloodline had lived on into Skydark. JB tried the...